is beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a bright, beautiful day it is today. Actually, the sun hasn't come out, and it's a little bit overcast here, it looks like, in Austin, Texas. But you know, it's always a bright, sunny day when Jesus is in your heart. Isn't that true? You know, I think that's the day that everybody remembers. You know, people have always said, the one day I'll never forget is when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, or when this other event. If you're a real old-timer, you say, oh, I can't forget. It was Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. Well, you know, but if you're a Christian, the one day that you never forget is the day Jesus came into your heart. A lot of people count that as their birthday. I say, how old are you? They say six. And I look at them, they got gray hair. And it turns out they mean, well, they were born again just 6 years ago. Well, I understand that sentiment and that feeling. Well, we're going to continue today with our series, The Ages-Old Conspiracy Against God and Man. A conspiracy. Now, I know your eyes may be glassing up and you say, oh, surely, Brother Tex, there can't be a conspiracy because, after all, the mass media tell us that that's just silly stuff. That's just nutcakes. I mean, even Rush Limbaugh says you got to be a fruitcake to believe in a conspiracy. Well, you know, Rush, you need to read the Bible. We're going to talk about not what Tex Moore says or Rush Limbaugh, but what the Bible says about conspiracy in the last days, even global conspiracy. Wow. I'm much more interested in knowing what God has to say than what Rush Limbaugh or Tex Mars or Larry King or Mrs. Schlesinger, Laura Schlesinger, Dr. Laura, whatever they call her. I mean, the world has a little bit of wisdom and smartness about it, but I mean, if you want to get the whole thing, the whole truth, you got to go to God's Word. Well, I'll tell you one thing. One thing that's great about God, I mentioned about how people could be made a new person in Christ. Did you know you can too? By accepting and believing and having faith in Jesus and promising Jesus with all of your heart that you do repent of your sins and promising that you will obey His commandments forever and ever, you can become a new person too. Well, Deborah Talley is a wonderful Christian lady who sings. You may have heard of the Talleys, the family, and she sung a beautiful song, and I heard it on this Mountain Homecoming album of Bill and Gloria Gaither and their homecoming friends. It's a beautiful song. You know, friends, some of us have some real bad and bitter yesterdays. You know that? We do. I mean, some bad things happen to people. A lot of people would like to forget them. A lot of people would like for God to forget them. Well, guess what? He will. He'll wipe away your tears. He'll start you off fresh again. He'll paint the picture anew. And Deborah says, God took away my yesterdays. And here's Deborah with his beautiful music. And right afterwards, I'll be back. I'm Tex Mars with my message, part two of The Ages-Old Conspiracy Against God and Man.
Drew me. yesterdays, from them I'll never run. I can't live for tomorrow may never come. But while I'm here, I'll serve Him. For me, He gave His Son. Soon He's gonna call me home to that new Jerusalem.
God took away my yesterdays and left me free from shame. And in that home of glory, He'll never again to play. In a land far away, they'll always stay. In a deep sea called
in a conspiracy. Mankind is polluted by the devil, and there is a revolt against God. We go a little later in history, and I'm just going to give you some of the brief things. I mean, we could spend days talking about the conspiratorial aims of history. We go right away to the Roman Empire, to the Caesars. I remember reading about Julius Caesar and his great conquest. I came, I saw, I conquered. He wrote in his diary, his log, as he moved through Europe. But one day came when Brutus, one of his best friends, conspired with others and they murdered Caesar. Yes, there was a conspiracy. So please don't tell me that conspiracies have not moved history. Please read your history books about Julius Caesar. Then we go on a little further. We go to 2,000 years ago and we have the story of Jesus Christ. He chose 12 to be his disciples, but Jesus said, one of you is a devil. One of you is a devil. That one turned out to be Judas. We had a conspirator who went to the Sanhedrin, who went to the Jews, and sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It was a money conspiracy. Jesus was betrayed. And you know, there was all kind of intrigue in it. There was Herod involved and Pilate was involved and, oh, a lot of intrigue and things going on. In one way or another, people who normally may have been innocent, Pilate's wife said, have nothing to do with this man. He's innocent. Pilate should have listened to her, but he thought he could just wash his hands and he'd be free of the blood of this innocent man. I think today he, unless he repented, is in a place where he's still having to answer. We can go on to the conspiratorial intrigue in history among the various houses of royalty in England, continental Europe, and Russia. Went on for hundreds of years. There was the gunpowder plot. Oliver Cromwell, the situation that occurred there, taking over in the royal house in Great Britain. Then in 1917, of course, there was a great conspiracy of the Bolsheviks who took over Russia. Yes, it was a communist conspiracy. And the vanguard, as they call themselves, of the proletariat, the vanguard, meaning the few, the elite, Vladimir Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin, took over that great empire that became the Soviet Union. Conspiracy, a small band of wicked men, and we find then that since 1917, as many as 100 million men, women, and children and babies have been brutalized and imprisoned and tortured because of a conspiracy. It wasn't too many years later that we had a great conspiracy in Germany. Here we have a conspiracy where a man was able to convince a majority of the people. He was swept into office by elections. Yes, his name was Adolf Hitler. He was popularly acclaimed by the people. He conspired even against the people who elected him. Result, 50 million perishing in the flames of World War II and in concentration camps through the Nazi atrocities. Conspiracy. Meanwhile, a few years later in Red China, Mao Zedong and a small group of insurgents conspired together in what they call the Long March to unseat General Chiang Kai-shek, the nationalist leader. And the Red Communist Revolt succeeded. Up to 25 million people were massacred immediately. You know, people had gone to Shanghai and Beijing, which was known as Peking before the war. And they said there are more prostitutes and petty gamblers and pickpockets on the streets of Shanghai than any city in the world. And after Mao Zedong took control, some people visited Shanghai again and they said, what a clean city. There's not one prostitute on the streets. There's not one pickpocket left. And they went to the authorities and they said, what happened to the hundreds of thousands of prostitutes that were on the street? And the authorities looked at them with blank faces. And the authorities said, we communists have cleaned up the city. Massacres. They know how to get rid of criminals, don't they? Petty or not. They also know how to get rid of innocent people who don't go along with the communist plan. And so it is said that up to 50 million Chinese or more have died in purges over the years and continue to die in China today. Oh, my friends, we can go on. We can talk about Cambodia just a couple of decades ago where the Khmer Rouge madmen took over. And there are stacks of skeletons and bones from their tortures and massacres. Small band, led by Pol Pot and others. Conspiracies. You say, well, those are stupid countries, uneducated, dumb people. Oh, yes, are they really? Lenin was very educated. Trotsky was educated. Hitler was considered a brilliant man. And don't think for a moment we don't have our own gangs of conspirators here. I could probably spend 6 months of programs just talking about the conspiratorial activities of William Jefferson Clinton and the murders and horrors that that man and his wife, Jezebel Hillary Clinton, have committed. You know it. I know it. Conspiracy. And go on and on. You know, my friends, did you know it may shock you to realize that it was a small band of conspirators who founded the United States of America? That's right. History books say that no more than 2% of the American public at first agreed with the aims of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and the others. A small minority. And they conspired together their little Continental Congress. You see, you don't call them conspirators today because they won. But if they had lost at Valley Forge, if George Washington had lost that battle, you would probably be reading in your British history book about the small band of evil conspirators who were put to the gallows by the brave British soldiers. And there would be names like Washington, Madison, Adams. Those evil conspirators. Now, I'm not calling them evil. Don't get me wrong. I believe that they were great men. I'm saying that from the perspective of the British, if they had won. We see then that history says there is conspiracy. A lot of people say, but is history really a guide? Maybe conspiracies have occurred in the past, but will they occur in the future? I'm here to assure you that the Bible says they will. And I'm going to give you the Bible verses you need to understand. This is not conspiracy theory. We're not into theory. Christians don't really give a big hang, I guess if you want to use a colloquialism, about theory. I want to know the truth. I want to know facts. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, give you facts about a conspiracy in the last days. Listen to these words. I love some of the words here. Oh, God can write more colorfully and more piercingly than any writer could. You know, I've written books, but I must tell you that none of the writing that I do is anywhere near the talent level of God, because he's so descriptive in how he writes. I praise him for the small talents he's given me, but boy, listen to what God says about the conspiracy. Rhetorically, he asks, Psalm 2, chapter 1, he says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Right away, we start to see here, the heathen are in a rage against God. Who are the heathen? All who rejected Christ, who refused to believe, who refused to give their lives to the Lord, but instead rebel, just like witchcraft, and continue to say, I will do what I want. Remember, one of the devil's creeds is, do as thou wilt. And the people imagine a vain thing. That means empty. No content. Proud, arrogant, haughty. The people are heathen in the last days, and they rage about, angry. And they create illusions in their mind against God and believe the strangest and most bizarre and weird things. And friends, they control every government on this earth, and they think that you and I are nuts. I mean, we've got the inmates running the loony bin here on this planet. And they're in a rage of anger against you and me. And they have been sent to strong delusion so that they can believe the lie and be damned. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But back to Psalm 2 right now. Verse 2 says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now you see, you start from the people. The foundation for the global conspiracy is the heathen who have rejected God, who are in a rage of anger against God's law and against God's people in the last days, and they imagine a vain thing, and they are given a strong delusion, and they give their power to the kings of the earth, who, it says in Psalms 2, verse 2, set themselves against who? Against the Lord and against his anointed. And these rulers, these kings over the earth, they take counsel together. They work together. They speak together. They meet in secret conclaves. Is it men meeting in smoke-filled rooms? In hidden chambers? Absolutely. I've been on radio talk shows, and the unbelieving host says, Mr. Morris, surely you don't suggest that super rich men meet secretly in hidden places, ha ha ha, and plot things for a world empire. Surely you don't suggest such a thing. And my response is, I don't suggest anything. I'm telling you that's the way it is. And God said it would be so. Because the kings of the earth set themselves and they take counsel together against who? Against the Lord and against his anointed. And who is the Lord's anointed? Friends, do you believe in Jesus Christ? You are his anointed. You say, I didn't know that I was anointed. Of course you are. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the spirit of deception and evil leaves you, and the Holy Ghost comes inside of you, and my friends, the Lord anoints you for whatever work he has for you on earth, and he sets the agenda, the timetable, and the work you are to do. You say, I had no idea God had an agenda for me. I have no idea that God has a timetable. Yes, he has. He's got everything set out for you. Until the day you die, it could be tonight, it could be next year, it could be a decade or five decades from now, but he's already got your life mapped up. He sets things in order for you. He has things he wants you to do. Every day when you wake up, my friends, don't think that day is going to be serendipity or circumstance or happenstance. He has everything mapped out for you to do.
You read Proverbs. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. You say, well, things just happened to me by accident. Don't be a fool. Nothing. Nothing happens by accident. Someone told me, you know, Tex, life is what happens while you're making other plans. That's right. You make a plan that doesn't go along with God's anointed plan for you, and something else is going to happen to you. That's right. Life is what happens when you make other plans. Because the book of James says, don't say to yourself, tomorrow I'm going to go into this city and I'm going to buy a piece of land and I'm going to do this or that. James, the brother of Jesus, said, instead say, if it be the will of God, I will do such and such tomorrow. You get in line with God. Now, these men are heathen, and they didn't get in line with God. And so they are in a rage, and even the devil is furious because he knows his time is short. And they take counsel together, who? Against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, friends, it's bad enough to go against God's anointed people, the saints of God. But when you go against the Lord, you're in big trouble. Now listen to the proclamation, the declaration that these evil conspirators in the last days make. Verse 3, Psalm 2, verse 3 says, here's what they say. They say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. This is what the heathen say in their rage. This is what the kings of the earth say. They say, God's got us restrained. God's got cords around us. We want to cast out the shackles. We want to be free of God. That's what Lady Liberty in the New York Harbor represents. Freedom from God. And if they come to the United States, the immigrants say we can have all the freedom we want. Not only freedom from men, but freedom, some say, from God. They want to break God's bands, the restraints that God has, the shackles they believe God has. You see, these people are so ignorant, these heathen, they don't understand that in Christ Jesus there is liberty. They believe they're imprisoned by God's laws. I've talked to people about Christ, and some people tell me, well, you know, I just want to do what I want to do. And I know that if I was a Christian, there were all these things I can't do. I can't drink anymore. I can't do the things with the girls that I do now or the men that I do now. I can't have sex when I want to. I can't. And they go on and on with all the things they feel like they're going to have to give up. They feel like they're going to be just prisoners if they trust in God. You know what the Bible says, my friends? It says you got to serve someone. And whoever you're serving, that's who you're in bondage to. You want to be in bondage to the devil or to God? God says, if you're in bondage to me, my yoke is easy. It's light. It's not a burden like you think. This is a lie of the devil. Some people say, well, when I get strong enough that I can give up my liquor and my dancing, and then I'll trust in God. Well, you'll never get strong enough. The devil will keep you tied in knots. You'll never do it. You say, well, I can do it in my own flesh. I'll just quit drinking someday. No, you'll never quit drinking. You'll never quit lying and cheating and philandering. You'll never do that. You'll never quit stealing and hurting people and losing your temper and all of those sins. No, you'll never do it. Not on your own strength. But if you give up your own self to God, if you lose yourself, then you will gain Jesus Christ. And remember what Christ said about the loss. Listen to what God's response is. I like this. Verse 4. Hear the heathen raging, the people imagining a vain thing. They give the kings of the earth and the rulers power, and they take counsel together against God and his anointed. They say, let us break the bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Oh, my friends, they don't want to hear you talk about Jesus. They're going to cast away the cords that you try to put around them. That's what the heathens say. But listen, here's what God says. Here's God's response. It says in verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Some people say, well, God's going to get real angry. Well, before he gets angry, he laughs. He laughs at them.
You know, I've talked to some men about this verse, and they say, well, goodness gracious, seems to me that God is sort of disrespectful, that God is scornful, that God is, what do you think, Tex? You know what my response is? God is God. He does what he wants. If he wants to be scornful of men and the heathen, he can be as scornful as he wants to. If he wants to laugh, he can laugh. If he wants to get angry, he can get angry. If he wants to be jealous, he can be jealous. Let me tell you something, friends. I'm not here to judge God. Are you? Are you here to judge God?
Please join with us next week as we continue this important series by Pastor Mars, entitled The Ages-Old Conspiracy Against God and Man. And until then, may God truly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.